like to,
Mary, you invited too.
I hear you. I lost my victim. I had a
Mayor?
Mr. Sanchez? Oh, there you go. Oh, he snuck in on me. Okay, never mind. Thank you. I'd like to call the Police Judicial and Legal Committee to order. It is Monday, May 1st. Happy May Day, everyone. We are running a bit late. We're catching up from a lengthy planning committee meeting, but it is 12:25, so all of my committee is here. Before we get started, there are a couple of things I'd like to comment on. One, I'd really like to thank all of you for your support at the Blessing of the Fleet. It was a fantastic event. Most of my council members were there. As a matter of fact, Jim Owen's wife won the shrimp eating contest. And our own, and our own Mayor Pro Tem was number five in the shag contest. So interestingly enough, when I told
speaking of working out, Mayor, we might want to revisit that working out. Just saying.
Well, I hate to be on the record, but we have a new, one of our sponsors is the East Cooper Medical Center, and we have a brand new CEO. Patrick is from Miami, Florida, and had never heard of shag. And when I told him he would be on the stage with us and certainly could participate in the shag contest,
he
raised his eyebrows. But Gary, you did a great job, and Jim, your wife, did a great job. So thanks for all of y'all that helped. On another note, I had the opportunity in Columbia this weekend to take the force training for police officers, and they will be at the Municipal Association in July. And if you have never considered what a police officer faces in a time of crisis when they have to pull a weapon on an individual that's armed or not armed, or maybe we don't know, you really need that training, and it was eye-opening. So we'll have the simulator down there, the Municipal Association, and I encourage you all to make time in your schedule to do that. I will tell you that every mayor there killed every civilian, period. And there were a lot of foul words that came out of Mayor's mouth as they were doing it, so it's very interesting. So moving on to the approval of the minutes, we do have a noted change to the minutes. In the minutes that we received, Mr. Carrier was the first and the second on a motion, and that's not true. Mr. Smith was actually the second. So if you would note those changes, I would ask for approval.
Move approval as amended.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And the ayes have it. Public comments, is there anyone here today that would like to address this committee on any issues? Hearing none, we'll move on to review and discussion of the solar eclipse. And Eric, I've asked to put this on the agenda, but I don't know what you prepared for. We'll keep it brief. We have a long day, but...
I am only as far prepared, Mayor, as to say that there indeed will be a solar eclipse on August 21st.
Right.
And I know that, we've done a little bit more than that.
Sure. We
plan to, provide opportunities at our park for people to view. Chief and I have been in constant communication about it. As a matter of fact, we feel that it's this event, of course, it's different than July 4th, but... like with July 4th, it's important how many people are allowed access to the pedestrian pathway on the Ravenel Bridge, and I'm actually looking to restrict access to it because it can get out of control and unsafe very, very quickly. Just like watching fireworks in that location can, which is why we restricted it. So I guess it's twofold. From a event type thing, we're working on providing opportunities for people to enjoy it. You know, the school district has canceled school that day. And then from a public safety point of view, we're talking about best ways to manage it.
Well, thank you. The Municipal Association does have a website set up for us and for the state to talk about opportunities that the communities may take. It's predicted 1 million people will be in the direct area to view the eclipse, and it'll be very impactful, so I wanted to put it on the agenda so that we'd all be aware of the eclipse and the importance of the eclipse. I know it sounds silly to talk about it in a town government point of view, but it can be very impactful to our citizens. Yes, sir?
I can just tell you that the ATAC committee people have all their books out. It's amazing how many people are going to be in town for that. So it's a big deal. It really is.
any other committee members have any comments or questions about the upcoming eclipse. You do realize it's a very narrow eclipse, which is why we're so impacted. There'll be regions right away from us that don't experience any of the eclipse, and we will be in the full eclipse. Yes, sir.
Madam Mayor, will you be hosting any viewing watch parties from your new palatial office, corner office suite out on the observation deck that Chief may need to be aware of for added security purposes for those who may be in attendance?
Well, I don't see the I don't see the building inspector here, and I'm not sure what the weight limit is on the new patio, but we we have talked about it, and you know, I just think that we just need to be aware of it as we move forward, and perhaps have more conversation about what support we may need to give you and your team to make sure that we're prepared for the masses that will come.
So, and ma'am, you know, we're gonna have contact with Patriots Point. Those areas, see what kind of dents they may have as well, just be supporting each other.
Okay, thank you very much. So moving on from that, if there's nothing else, police matters, employee years of service recognition.
Yeah, up for me. I got the pleasure of recognizing Corporal Don Calabrese for 10 years of service. Don came to us with some police experience. He came to New Jersey. He's been here 10 years now, so he's Southerner. Like, once he had a 10-year mark, we can say that.
Come back.
But when he's in New Jersey, he spent time as a part-time police officer, a paramedic, and a dispatcher. So I think he had a good knowledge of what he was getting to when he came to us. Since coming to work for Mount Pleasant Police Department, he has worked patrol and spent 4 years handling our crime prevention and put in place some great programs and made great contacts with different HOAs that continue today, as a matter of fact, in partnerships. Moved to the rank of field training officer, being responsible for training our new folks when they come through. Did a great job doing that. Recently promoted to the rank of corporal. What a great opportunity that is for him to start supervising, because providing everything continues to go well. When we get to July, we're looking at upgrading this, all the corporal positions to sergeant, as they get more responsibilities throughout the town and providing service to the town. And I know Don will be ready for that and very capable to handle this. Well, thank you for your 10 years of service.
Thank you.
I have a question. Do you eat grits?
I do.
He's really? Southern. Yeah. That's the test.
Well, you did a great job at the police academy.
That doesn't work out, but I'll.
It's part of it, right?
That's right. It sure is. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, sir.
Next is the approval of the Memorandum of Understanding of the City of North Myrtle Beach. Chief, have you?
Yes, ma'am. This is something we've been doing for the past several years. It's where either Myrtle Beach or North Myrtle Beach will contact us needing assistance during their bike week. And we have provided that over the past couple of years. And by way of our bicycle officers and supervisors, we go up there and assist with crowd control, traffic control. And it's been a good experience and learning experience for officers who've gone up there and brought back that experience here. It's also good to help an agency like that, because if we have large events, we'll certainly reach out to them for the same type of assistance as we need it.
Perhaps we'll need them during the eclipse. Mr. Smith?
Chief, what's the timeline for our new Harley-Davidson patrol?
And when the budget's in place in July, we should start working towards that.
Not in time for bike week, Mark.
Well, that's true. Nothing after that.
Anyone else? Motion and a second for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the ayes have it. Item number C is something that I asked to be put on the agenda. It's a discussion of citizen safety in Shim Creek, not only through the task force, but through conversations with citizens that frequently boat and use the waterway. My own son and myself are fortunate enough to be able to use the waterway quite often. It's come to our attention that, you know, Shim Creek is full. And so I reached out to Angus McBride, who is our the head of our DNR, and he is was trying to be here today, but he had some briefs due and wasn't able to make it. Through the conversation with Mr. McBride, it came to my attention that there are 4 DNR officers that patrol from Charleston Harbor to Georgetown. 4. And of course, we have the Coast Guard, so depending on an incident and how an incident may happen, if it's commercial or non-commercial motorized, non-motorized vehicle, there are other support agencies. We have a trained police boat, and operators. And Mark and I were fortunate enough yesterday to be at the blessing and speak to DNR as well. And I would like you and your department to come up with a plan for you to support DNR's efforts in Shem Creek specifically. I know there's certification for BUI training, and if our officers could participate, Mr. McBride mentioned to us yesterday that he is offering that class, and if we need certification to issue BUI. And I'd also like to know what, I know we have jurisdiction in Shem Creek, but what are our officers allowed to do? What enforcement could they do? What tickets? Going all the way from, with keeping it as brief as possible, through commercial applications using the landing, which is causing overcrowding. And you know, when you have four paddleboard companies, five paddleboard companies operating on a weekend, putting in 50 paddleboards at a time, or, you know, I just really need your help with this, Chief, and I'm going to turn it over to the committee for further discussion. Mr. Smith?
Madam Mayor, I would just add that, first of all, Angus was very, very kind, very gracious, and very welcoming and appreciative of the collaborative effort. Spoke very highly of you and all of the force for the efforts moving forward. I do want to underscore what Mayor said. He did talk about a timeline on that course. If there's anyone needing to go through that BUI course, just be aware that it's a little bit time sensitive, and they're welcoming you with open arms to jump into that next class that's coming up. That's really the only comment I would have.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier.
I think the only one I have, Chief, is that I just think your presence there would be great. I mean, most of the stuff I see is just obvious, beer drinking and all, and I just think having the police cruiser down there, the boat, would make a world of difference, I mean, especially on Saturday, Sunday, of course.
Absolutely, and actually that they provided me with a schedule all the way through the summer where that is being covered, and our boat will be in there quite a bit this summer.
That's good.
Mr. Raymer?
Yeah, just I think anyone who spends any time in Shem Creek knows the safety concerns, just the heavy use there. So I would just encourage that presence there to be very heavily on safety as opposed to heavy-handed enforcement. I think, you know, just finding that right balance there. But I think I agree with Elton. I think just the presence there will change sort of the dynamic and some of the behavior that goes on there. So I totally support that.
Absolutely, you'll be done.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. We're not trying to rain on anyone's fun, and certainly not cut down on any of their time in the water and how much we all enjoy that. But it scares me. I mean, you know, you see paddleboarders who might not be experienced navigating oyster beds and all sorts of safety issues. So if you'll bring that back to us, if you've already got a schedule, that'd be great. But if you could bring it back to us next committee and let us know what you can and can't enforce, and just give us a few more details about the BUI course particularly. Okay?
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything else on that? You don't need anything other than this committee's direction, correct?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Judicial matters, again, Lisa, nothing?
No, ma'am, we're good, thank you.
You know, you gotta start asking for more, you know?
I did, Mayor, thank you.
You gotta do it, boy.
Very generous.
I know that she asked for one thing in the budget. That's all we have from her, you know? Come on.
Stay the course, please. Stay the course.
Legal matters. The first is a consideration to amend Chapter 92, Fire Prevention, Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinance pertaining to fire pits. And I know that Councilman Owens has been working on this, but Mr. Pagliarini, can you, or who am I going to turn it over to?
My fire department. Chief Mason, please.
Chief Mixon, there you go.
Good afternoon. So we were approached by some residents about ordinance being a little bit outdated, specifically the language that said they couldn't burn except during daylight hours. And I think we all agree that most of the burning for parties or cooking at home is done in the evening hours and at night. So we've adjusted a little bit, brought up to date, took that language out, added some language about being attended until it's extinguished, also having a means of fire control on scene, whether it be a bucket of sand, a fire extinguisher, a bucket of water, something just to help with that. And then two sub-articles that correlate to the DHEC regulation that say this article shall not be restricted for, you know, fires that are for human warmth, cooking, recreational purposes, ceremonial observances. Then also fires containing a barbecue or charcoal grill are not considered fires because they're directly for cooking. So, just a little bit of updated language and kind of expanding it, but this is just for residential, and we're still going to keep the language in there about nuisance. So if someone has a really smoky fire and it's affecting the neighbor, we still have the power to put that out regardless of time of day, but just something that allows our citizens to burn more normally during evening hours.
Well, thank you, Chief Mixon. Mr. Owens, is this in line with the conversation that we've had to the concerns your resident had?
Yes, absolutely, Madam Mayor. And I just want to thank the Assistant Chief and Chief Williams for meeting with us and getting this resolved. This gives folks that have used their fire pit in the past in the evening hours the ability to do it legal now. So, you know, I think many of us are guilty about using the fire pit in the evening hours. So this really helps not only the residents, but all of Mount Pleasant.
Thank you. I don't think I've actually had one during the day. Mr. Pagliarini, are you okay with the recommended changes from people?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
That was going to be my comment, Madam Mayor. I thought they came with instructions only burn at night.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. Any other comments from the council? We need to take this to full council, so can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. Suggested. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And yes, Madam. Item number B is a discussion of an ethics policy governing members of town council. Councilman Santos is here. I know he has asked for this. I will turn it over to you, Mr. Pagliarini, first for some brief introduction.
Just a preface as to what we have, obviously, Mr. Santos has asked for some information on this issue so that everyone understands what is in place, because over the last week or so, these have been the types of questions we've been asked. As you well know, that our employees are subject to our personnel policies. Specifically, we have an ordinance on the issue, 37.01, under misconduct. And elected officials, appointed officials, are subject to the State Ethics Commission and the rules proffered by them in our state code. Our employees are subject to the personnel manual. At this point, what Mr. Santos has asked for, at least what the document that's been reviewed, is something that's been published by the Municipal Association. And essentially what it is, it's more of a supplementary policy, an ethics policy that you all would agree to. The one thing to keep in mind is that the state weighs in on penalties. What this supplemental policy by the Municipal Association contemplates are supplemental penalties, which don't include removal from office and the like, but more censuring voting. Specifically, it talks about losing committee seats. And as you well know, our form of governance, such that the mayor's authority to, it's within the mayor's authority to appoint committee seats and chairs. So if enacted in some form, then that would most likely, our code would most likely have to be changed if you wanted something, first of all, at all, and second, consistent with the Municipal Association as proffered. So that's just the setup as to what we have in place. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, David. I'll start it off. First for you, can we censor, would I have the right as a council member to censor my all my council members now?
Well, in the sense that if you created a policy, as long as that punishment, and I say punishment, I don't go make it sound overtly like there's some form of physical punishment. Thrashing, yeah. But yeah, those types of things are allowable, or at least foreseen, and at the state, it doesn't affect the ability to serve.
I mean now.
Oh, now? No,
now.
Not right now.
So if I had a problem with one of the behavior of one of my council members, or their treatment towards someone else, other than an ethics violation, which obviously I would go to the Southern Ethics Commission, where would I take that? I would just have
to. We don't have a provision in place. And as you may recall that several years ago this was brought up, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago that
right.
This was brought up in committee as well.
Right. And to get you straight, then the mayor would likely lose her or his ability to change chairmanships or change committees.
If what has been produced is the Municipal Association document, that document, the model document, contemplates that. that what is at stake are seats on committees, committee chairs. So yes, ma'am, if that document were to be voted on, approved, then we'd have to amend our ordinances accordingly to take that authority away from the mayor.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have. You, before I turn it over to committee, Gary, I have a question for you as well. I had the opportunity to meet with the Municipal Association all weekend, so I was wondering, Miriam wasn't aware of where or who you got this from. This is a very dated policy to the Municipal Association, not stating that it's not a bad place to start, but can you tell me when and where you got it and when it was created?
Well, I can answer that. It was that requested, and that's the only thing that they have in place. We don't believe it's really been adopted throughout the state, but that is a starting point. It is by no means. So Mr. Santos asked, that's the only one we can find that is of any relevance whatsoever. But it is dated, you are correct, so that's where it came from.
Okay, so my main concerns with it is not that we, I'm very concerned with people's behavior, I'm very concerned with over-regulation as well, though, but I am concerned about the age of the document and perhaps some of the content of the document. So if we were going to create something, I might prefer to create something from scratch. That's just my opinion. Mr. Smith?
Well, did the Municipal Association have an opinion, a position on this document?
Miriam was actually very surprised that the document was available. She said it was very dated, and she asked me to send it to her, which I did. But no, they don't have a statement. They don't recommend adoption. That doesn't mean we couldn't lead by example and create some. And I believe North Charleston just created a code of conduct. I mean, I don't know if it needs to be so much. I think we need to address every council member's concerns, and if Mr. Santos has legitimate concerns about behavior or how people are being treated or staff's being treated, it needs to be addressed. And if there's no provision in place for us to correctly deal with that, then it could be problematic. We all hope we live by the golden rule, but perhaps sometimes that's not the case.
And my last question, then, Mayor, would be, perhaps Councilman will address this in his comments, but is there an end result, or what's driving this? Is there an end result or issue that we're trying to address, resolve, or fix, or why are we having this discussion is my question.
Well, that would be a question for Mr. Santos. Interestingly enough, I see Ms. Whitty in the back of the room representing our local newspaper, and she's actually called me on this issue. There are no ethics violations that I know of this time. There's no conduct at this time that I'm aware of. No one has come to me. And that was my answer to the newspaper, but perhaps you would direct your question to Mr. Santos. Anyone else on the committee?
I would like to chime in just to say that I feel like I work under the State Ethics Commission rules as a councilman for 8 years. I feel like that they guide me. Now, I know it's heavily weighted toward campaign structure and all that and the things we have to do regarding monies, but I also think I have to walk a pretty thin line when it comes to how I behave as a councilman. So I don't know what another layer of ethics, rules and regs is going to do for me that I'm not already feel like I'm under. If somebody can clarify that something is not covered in the state ethics laws that I took up oath to observe, then I'd like to know about it. Can you chime in on that?
I can't answer that question. Ms. Pellegrini?
Yes, sir. I think your assessment of it is correct, is that the state rules and procedures are heavily weighted toward financial aspects. But there are day-to-day, I think the area that's missing, and I think what the mayor alluded to, is a code of conduct more than ethical rules, and that's how to behave. that's what the state does not weigh in on. Obviously, to my knowledge, in my 5 years here, we've never had that issue. If you go to some other meetings throughout the state, you might be surprised at some of the public behavior that you see. So it really hasn't been an issue that we've seen, but that would be the area that that it would encompass.
Well, I'll let Gary hone in on what he is trying to accomplish here.
Well, let me first see if Mr. Bremer has any questions or comments before I open it up to Mr. Santos. Are you okay with that?
Sure. I guess my first thought reading this was, it really is less of an ethics document than a conduct. It's a code of conduct is really what it is. It's here's what you can do or shouldn't do, and if you do it, here's what happens. And I've worked in government for 27 years. I've never signed a such a detailed conduct, a code of conduct. I have signed some ethics for state agencies, but I'm just kind of curious as to what problem we're trying to solve here. I'm not aware of there being a need, and maybe this is a proactive step, which is fine. I don't particularly see the need for it myself, but I don't see anything in here that's particularly offensive to me. I think it's good stuff, and you certainly should be doing those things, but I think when you have a code of conduct, those folks who are more inclined to behave are going to be guided by something other than a code of conduct. And those folks who are inclined to misbehave aren't going to really care if there's a code of conduct in place. So I'm not exactly sure what that does, other than it may be a good signal to the public, that we are going to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And there's value in that, I guess. But I'd like to hear more from you, Mr. Santos, as well.
Thank you,
Mr. Roman.
Mr. Santos, do you have a floor?
1690 Greystone Boulevard. Great discussion, guys. Golly, I'm glad we did this before you called me up first to speak, because I think you addressed a lot of the things that I was going to talk about. But you're exactly right. Certainly, I think citizens hold us to a higher standard. And right now, really, we don't answer to anybody. I mean, the Ethics Commission, like I think Elton described it pretty accurately, the financing and all. But, you can have, I've been doing this 17 years, and needless to say, I've been through a lot of councils. And this isn't a brand new problem. It's happened starting back when I first got on. You saw people that would treat staff as if they were their own personal secretaries or things like that. Make comments and all, which they probably shouldn't. Just not do what normal business practices would call for. And there was no way to do anything with them. You can't do anything. The mayor can certainly take them off of committees, but that's about it. And so, lately we've seen, some I have heard of some issues as well, so some of these things that have been going on, no names, but just, and so it made me think about that, because years ago I wanted to do the same thing, and I got off for 4 years and I'm back on, and I just think that we need something to guide us. Right now we don't answer to anybody. I mean, there's no code of conduct for people to sign to say how they're going to act. I think it's needed, and like I said, it's something that's really a pro type action that we're standing up and saying that, hey, we want to make sure that we're above reproach when it comes to certain things. And I think working with our staff and being held accountable for our actions, whether they violate state ethics commission's laws or not. I mean, right now, if it doesn't rise to that level, there's, like I said, really nothing that we can do. And I think this document, as I passed it out to everybody. I asked everybody if you had any questions to send me some stuff in writing. Councilman Owens did, but I didn't receive anything from anybody, so I thought everybody was going to be pretty much okay with it until I started talking to everybody this morning, and then they were raising the issue, so I'm going like, wait a second, nobody sent me anything, now I'm here. I'm ready to sign it now, but however, I think it's broad. Even though it's dated, all of them apply right now. I have no issues with any of it, but certainly if there's some things that you feel like need to be pulled out, by all means. That's why I sent it out in advance for everybody to look at it and see if you liked it. I mean, I went through and highlighted the things I liked about it, and as you see, not everything was highlighted. So even I took some things out. But I think we need to be proactive, and I think that we need to lead by example, and by having a code of conduct, I think it lets the citizens know that we are going to perform as we should in a proper way. And I just think it's a good step forward, and I think being leaders in the community, it's something we should do to show them that we're willing to put ourselves out there. We're willing to say this is how we're going to act all the time. And then we'll have opportunities, if we don't act that way, for council to be able to do some things to at least try and maybe bring people back in line. I'm just trying to think of a way that we can address issues right now, because we can't do that now. We're not full-time employees. They didn't give us a handbook when we were elected. And so our staff and all are guided by a different code of conduct, and we're not. And all I'm just saying, I think council needs one. And so certainly we can amend this however anybody wants to amend it, but I do think we need to have something on the books. And like I said, I'm ready to sign it now, but I would certainly like for everybody to weigh in on it. Mark out what you don't like, what you like, and let's come together with the document, and I think it's a good step forward.
Thank you, Mr. Santos. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this? Mr. Owens.
Yes, thank you,
just state your name and address for the record.
Jim Owens, 1197 Ironview Drive.
I'm in agreement with what Gary's done. I think that the document in and of itself was rather lengthy. It could be amended, certainly edited. Most of what Mr. Brimmer was talking about as far as the code of conduct is applicable. The ethics were guided by the State Ethics Commission that you alluded to earlier. But this is just really, you know, it's another level of reassurance to the elected officials will do their best to remain above reproach. And so we really don't need to govern from behind. We need to lead by example. This gives us an opportunity to step up. You might recall in recent days there was a news article about the city of North Charleston requesting their citizens be governed by a code of conduct. This is a good example for us to lead by example. Put something in place. Again, we don't have a manual from HR, and I think the executive offices are even governed by a more stringent policy. There is no policy out there. It's not to say that anybody's doing any wrongdoing. We're not suggesting that at all. It just gives us an opportunity to remain above reproach, let our citizens realize that we're not afraid to govern ourselves. It's just another level of measured protection for them and their support of us, realizing that they've got a council they can depend on.
Thank you for your words, Mr. Owens. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak on this? You know, I mean, I think, you know, I don't have any conduct concerns other than, you know, of course I like to protect staff as much as possible, but I'm kind of a mother hen and I am the only woman up here with all the guys. And, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody is nice to everyone. You know, I try to be as well. So I'm not ready to vote on it as it sits. I'm not ready. I don't know what next steps would be. I would certainly like to take it to full council, like this committee support taking it to full council for discussion so that everyone, all council members, will have an opportunity to chime in on it. But if I were going to sign something, it would need to be much shorter, much briefer, much more direct, and more current to what I would consider the issues. Well, I don't know about the committee. Yes, I'll start at the end.
Mr. Brewer, just a couple of questions. Mr. Pagliarini, under our current structure system, in a hypothetical situation, what are the options if the mayor misbehaves?
Well, given our form of government, the mayor is
no
special status in relation to, I mean, there are certain powers in relation to the mayor, such as the ability to select, choose committees, but really no different than any other council.
And just as a matter of practical matter, if this were put into effect, or some version of this was put into effect, and council member refused to sign, what then?
Yeah, well, I think that's, if it's enacted by ordinance and requirement, as opposed to voluntary, then it would be a condition to hold an office within the town of Mount Pleasant.
Does that get into legal problems?
Let me understand, this is at the discussion and developmental stage. Obviously, if you speak to every council member, you might have nine varying opinions on as to what should happen, but let's be clear, legal has not vetted the issue. We want to hear, first of all, if you want something, and then what you want, and then what we can give you something that is legally enforceable. And also, as part of enforcement, that's really the issue, the major issue is how is it enforced? Because there are some significant concerns with how it's enforced. And I don't mean to pick on the one that's been, the proposal that's been presented, because that really is a base document, something to work from. But there it has the town administrator and the town legal counsel investigating.
I like that, Eric.
I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I just don't.
But it seems like this affects, and this is written in a way that covers elected officials, but also appointed officials.
Right.
So I'm thinking if I'm an elected official, this wouldn't cover me until I'm actually elected. And once I'm elected, I don't think the power, council has power to sanction me, quite frankly, with any kind of loss of what the voters have given me. So I think there's a lot of legal, really tricky legal issues here in terms of, you know, if someone chooses not to do this, is there any sanction to matter?
Well,
is it just a matter of if it's a voluntary compliance?
And what exactly are the sanctions? Let's remember, as we let off, if the state covers certain sanction, and then it's not necessarily a removal issue, it's more of a going to say that this is not appropriate. So there is a question as to the level. I guess the balancing permit or the balancing consideration is that having one promotes a standard, and so I think there are relevant issues on both sides of it. But you are correct, sir. That is the issue that we're legal counsel is going to face: is how do you implement something? How is it made mandatory? How is it enforced? And then what are the enforcement mechanisms? Those are all up for discussion.
So, Mayor, I guess where I am at with all this is Mr. Santos's information. When I get information like that sent to me via email, I don't do work via email. I don't really do any discussion until it's in the public forum. So that's why I didn't respond.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that.
I just, as a matter of practice, I just don't do that. So, you know, I'm happy to spend time before the next meeting, perhaps, and go through this and do some editing or put notes in there. I'm happy to do that. If we're all willing to do that, maybe bring it back and see where we are with it. I think that would be a way that I could be comfortable.
Bob, I'm fine. You know, my concern obviously was, you know, we've heard from all two of us at this point, because even though there are only four of us on this committee, you know, two of our council members have spoken as citizens. So it's really up to this committee. When I said I'd like to take this full council, that was just so everybody could weigh in. And I'm like, I want to dig into it until it looks like a majority are going to be supportive of it. You know, but I'm willing to do whatever this committee would like to do. And I know I had some other questions, so I'll finish up with you, Mr. Carey.
No, I concur with Bob. I'd like some time to go through it page by page. And, you know, I like the idea of it being more of a code of conduct than a ethics situation. With penalties, I think code of conduct with the mayor's oversight or whoever we designate makes more sense to me than a long litany of things here that I'm not supposed to do. Which,
well, perhaps then the proper thing to do, instead of us doing some work and taking it back to this committee, perhaps next month our legal team could address our legal concerns and address some of the issues that we have with the age of the document and the nature of the document. And they could bring it back to us, and then we as a committee can decide next month to move it forward to a full council for some finish up. Is that,
yes, ma'am.
That seems a little better instead of us trying to direct legal, let them direct us, because they do the good work here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I was just going to say I'm happy to answer any questions when you're going through or whatever. That's why I tried to pass it up as soon as I got it to make sure everybody had a chance to look at it. But certainly, you know, if you want to do that and want to talk about it, I'm certainly open. Like I said, I've made changes, and I didn't have everything in there as well. I cut out a lot of stuff. So I think you'll see that you can do the same, and we can still get to where we want to be and not have this whole document. This was just something the council in Columbia has passed on as well. That was the first one that I had gotten from them to see, and I marked out a lot of stuff. And then this is the second one that I got back. So it has been done in the state already, not this document maybe, but one similar to this. So, you know, I'm happy to answer any questions anytime you're going through or whatever. I think it's a good idea to sit down and talk about it first before we go to council and ask all kind of questions again. If we can get them solved before we get there, then that probably would be better.
Thank you. We'll finish that with Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Couple just random thoughts in no particular order. I guess starting with the end in mind, I will not stand down or allow a political twist of my statements to be made that I'm not in support of exploring this opportunity. I am in support of exploring this opportunity. However, I'm not excited about this council, and I'll take no part in the admission that elected officials aren't accountable to anyone, because that's furthest from the truth, in my opinion. We're accountable and held to pretty high standards to constituents who elect us to hold office. And there are election cycles to handle direct results of behaviors that are unbecoming or undesired for the majority of the people who hold standards, their elected officials, to standards that they share. There's in the private sector, in my own company, we have policies and procedures that include vision and mission statements, and also core values in our company. There are many folks who believe in God, country, family as part of that. And I won't be quiet sitting here on this committee and
and pretend that we have to go outside this municipality to see blatant levels of constant lack of civility, disrespect, and tone. It's not only the words we use, but it's the, how we use the words that we use. It's the body language that's on video at our council meetings that's often portrayed by many at times. So while I'm happy to go through this exercise to create a merit badge type exercise to put on my lapel that I have values, that I have principles, that I am strategic in my, principally based in my actions, in my opinion, it's nothing more than political propaganda, because we are expected, as the opening comments Mr. Santel said, to be held at a higher level of standards by the people who elect us. And I'll support a code of conduct, if that is the will of the majority of council, for political purposes.
Well, thank you, and we don't need to make it over political. I mean, you know, we do have Robert's Rules of Orders. We are held to standards at meetings. I don't think we're overthinking this, but we'll hear it again next month. We're all good with that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just for the record, I don't think any code of ethics is propaganda. I think it's the right thing to do. I think that was a poor choice of words by Councilman Smith. It minimizes what the Code of Ethics tries to do with many laws. I take training every year on ethics and code of conduct and things like that, and it's part of most major businesses, HR. We don't have it for us, and that's what I'm just trying to do. But clearly, it's not propaganda, and I think that's a bad word.
I appreciate your comments, Mr. Santos. I know Mr. Smith, as a licensed undertaker, also takes classes on ethics. And I, as an auctioneer holding a state license, take classes on ethics on a very regular basis.
And if you work for my company, you sign the code of conduct.
So we understand. We understand all that. So and number seven is we have a need to go into executive session to discuss a second amended employment agreement.
So moved.
Have a motion and a second to go into executive session. And any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ready?
I'll
get ready.
Ow.
Thank you. We are out of executive session. We had a need to discuss a second amended employment contract.
Madam Mayor, I'm committee members make a motion that we extend the second amendment, the employment agreement as discussed by 2 years in the terms discussed.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion, questions, comments? This will go to full council. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the ayes have it. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're adjourned.